today as we come to the table.
See, the hard thing that we face is that God says we are his sheep. And how does a sheep be like a lion? Well, imagine a sheep with a lion's head. That's what God wants us to be. You're supposed to, that's kind of a don't imagine it too long. But either way, we're to be bold as a lion, and yet we're sheep that follow the Lord. Now, we're not the sheep of the world. The sheep of the world follow the world. And that's where that whole term sheeple comes from, and don't be a sheeple, as they say. But look, we are God's sheep. We can't deny that. There's no running from the fact that we're God's sheep. But God said, for my sheep, not the world's sheep, but for my sheep, I'm calling you to be bold. I'm calling you to be strong and to realize that I am your shepherd.
God's word says we are his sheep, and yet we are to be as bold as lions. Sheep follow, but we're not to be sheep who follow the world, but sheep who follow the Lord. Sometimes it takes years of following the Lord for us to become strong enough to have the boldness and wisdom needed to speak up for our Lord. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark reminds us that even though we may be facing a ferocious enemy, God is standing right beside us, and he's offering his strength to help us fight our battles. He can provide the victory just as he did for Daniel. Like Daniel, we must be willing to stand for God and allow him to provide his strength. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Daniel, chapter 6, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Daniel chapter 6. So let's open our Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. And as you guys are finding your way there, I'm going to read a little bit of it for you before we pray. It says in verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give an account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above all the governors and the satraps because of an excellent spirit that was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the entire realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, well, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, the satraps, the counselors, the advisors, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man 30 days except you shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since his early days. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the example that we see in Daniel. So many examples, Lord, throughout Daniel's life of really what we want to be and need to be as followers of you. And we thank you, Lord, for recording this for us so we can see not only that it's possible, but Lord, how we're supposed to do it under the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that even as we see this boldness now that's revealed in Daniel here in chapter 6, that you would make us men and women of boldness, Lord, by the power of the Spirit, that we might be a witness to this world around us the way that Daniel was a witness in his day. Lord, especially should we face persecution in the days in which we live. So, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. We pray you would be the teacher, and we look forward to what you're going to show us today in your word and by your spirit in our heart. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, today we look at A Lion Among Men. This is one of the most famous chapters in all the Bible. And again, we're not going to get to the end where Daniel actually gets thrown into the lion's den, but we're going to see that really it's broken up in two different segments of boldness that Daniel needs. No doubt there had to be supernatural boldness to go into the lion's den with the confidence that your God was going to be your protector. We're going to see that Daniel also had a boldness facing against men and lions among men so that he would not have a fear of man and could stand for God. And this is something we need as well. You know, if we can't stand against men and get over the fear of man, we'll never be able to stand in the lion's den should God ever bring us to a greater test of our faith, such as something that great. And so Daniel here is going to show us what it's like to be a lion among men. Now, what is the setting here? Again, Daniel has been a captive in Babylon, and now transferring over into the Medo-Persian Empire for about 70 years at this point. And when it was in his late 80s, so this is something where, again, you know, no doubt, I don't know what was going through Daniel's mind. I think Daniel realized that his life was one of turmoil and not maybe one that he would have a lot of rest in. But I think that by the time I got to my late 80s, I might be thinking, you know what? Probably by now it's going to be pretty smooth sailing from this point on. Guess what? Daniel's about to go into the lion's den. It doesn't always get easier the older we get. As a matter of fact, sometimes the older we get, the harder it becomes, and yet God will give us the grace for every stage of life, every season of life, and every trial in life. And that's exactly what we're going to see that God did here for Daniel. And by the way, you think of all that Daniel went through. He survived being taken captive in Jerusalem by the Babylonian army as a teenager. So they came in and they were attacking. Daniel wasn't killed at that time. Then the threat of execution under Nebuchadnezzar if he couldn't interpret his dream, and God was faithful to him in that. And then dodging the event in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So Daniel had seen God be faithful throughout his life. And again, with each episode that happened, all Daniel had to do was look back and remember. And by the way, I want to encourage each of you to do that. Whenever you face a new trial in your life, I think a lot of times we face the new trials, and maybe you're in one right now. And what happens is, it's all we can see. I'm in this trial. What am I going to do? Life's over or whatever, how our brain runs. You know, think back. Have you ever had any other trials where you thought you were in big trouble and God pulled through and did something amazing? See, that's what you draw on. God, you were faithful then. You're going to be faithful now. Daniel can look back over his life and say, God, you were faithful then. You're going to be faithful now. You've been faithful through all of it. And so I'm going to trust you. And so, and again, I think there's something else we need to realize. Again, as Daniel would be approaching or probably past what we would call retirement age in our day and age we live today, as far as a normal job, again, for somebody following God, we never really retire. We serve God till the day we die, or at least we should. Now, I know in an earthly job, we typically have retirement times, and I get that. There's an age where you can retire, and the Social Security and all that, or whatever the case might be. And there's nothing wrong in that, especially if you have the nest egg set up and you're ready to go. But I think the danger for the Christian here, what Daniel realized, that we need to realize, the danger for the Christian in today's environment is this. When we retire in our earthly job, it doesn't mean we're done serving the Lord. We never retire from the service of God. Now, again, it's like I've shared with you guys. I'm going to try to, you know, until the Lord comes back or as long as I live, I want to try to continue to serve the Lord until the day I die. Now, I won't torture you if I get so old that it's miserable for all of us. If the Lord doesn't come back in time, I'm not going to torture you. Don't worry. I wouldn't do that. But I want to. There is no retirement date when it comes to serving God. There's retirement in the world, but not with God. So enjoy the fishing, enjoy the RV trip. But remember, your life is not RV trips and fishing just because you've retired. Your life is serving Jesus Christ until the day that God brings you in the kingdom of God, that you can stand before the Lord and hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And so Daniel knew this. And we need to be aware of it. We need to guard ourselves and understand that we're supposed to serve the Lord that way. But we also have to realize that even as we get older, there are no guarantees that we're not going to run into greater trials in life. And as I said, oftentimes we have the greater trials in life the longer we go along. But the good thing is we can see God's faithfulness through all of it, which gives us the strength for the next thing that we're facing. And now Daniel today is going to face, again, one of the largest trials he's faced. You think about where Nebuchadnezzar, his life was in danger there. His life's in danger here too. But the problem with this one, to me, it's even worse in that it's not just, okay, we're going to execute you if you can't interpret the dream, because typically that would be something very gracious, if I can use that word in execution, maybe your head cut off and it happened so quick you don't know anything. This was throwing someone in the lion's den, letting lions eat you while you're still alive. Now, don't meditate on that too long, all right? Tracy says, Mark, you paint pictures with your words. Be careful what you say. So I have to be careful not to go too long on that. My point is simply this. This was even much more fearful than being threatened of being put to death by Nebuchadnezzar. Thrown into a den of lions, and we'll talk more about that next week. I mean, the lions were very ferocious for a special reason in that day, but the bottom line is this would have been something that would have been very, very fearful in the earthly realm, in the natural realm, and this is why I call Daniel a lion among men. Because even when this threat comes, we're going to see that Daniel was very bold, and Daniel was very courageous. You know, it's interesting. When you look at Daniel, Daniel was from the tribe of Judah, it would appear. He was a descendant, it would appear, from David and from David's line and the kingly line. It says the kings, they would take the king's sons and bring them back and do these into the kingdom because it was the cream of the crop, so to speak, the nobles and the king's sons. And most believe he was from the line of David. He was in the line of Judah. And the insignia for Judah was the lion. That was their banner on their flag when they were coming through the wilderness. And as a family, that was their family banner. It was the lion, which is very appropriate because, again, Jesus, being from the tribe of Judah, was known as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And so now we see that Daniel is actually in the line of his family line, had lions in it, if you will. The tradition of just the lion that represented them, but now also being in the same line of David and the lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ, later on down the road. So it's appropriate that Daniel would have the boldness of a lion and the face of a lion because of what he was facing. But I want you guys to know this as well. You also are in the family line of a lion. And what do I mean by that? Your father is Jesus Christ. He is your Lord. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. You are his children, which means you are in the line of lions as well. And that's what God wants you to be. He wants you to rise up to be as bold as a lion. The Bible tells us to be that way, and especially in the days in which we live, we need that boldness. Now, let me encourage you. It's not a natural thing that happens. And the reason that's encouraging is because you're going to try to do it in your own strength, you'll fail. It is supernatural, which means you've got to go to God and say, God, come upon me with your Holy Spirit and give me boldness, and I can be as bold as a lion, and God will do that. But see, the hard thing that we face is that God says we are his sheep. And how does a sheep be like a lion? Well, imagine a sheep with a lion's head. That's what God wants us to be. You're supposed to, that's kind of a don't imagine it too long. But either way, we're to be bold as a lion, and yet we're sheep that follow the Lord. Now, we're not the sheep of the world. The sheep of the world follow the world. And that's where that whole term sheeple comes from, and don't be a sheeple, as they say. But look, we are God's sheep. We can't deny that. There's no running from the fact that we're God's sheep. But God said, for my sheep, not the world's sheep, but for my sheep, I'm calling you to be bold. I'm calling you to be strong and to realize that I am your shepherd, and I'm the one that's going to protect you. Again, I get this whole picture of, you know what? We may be facing the enemy, and we're this little sheep, but we've got this face of a lion. How do we have that face of a lion? Because we look next to us, and there stands our mighty shepherd with all power and authority. And the Bible says, simply stand, and God will give you the victory. The enemy has to flee. And so that's what we have to be. We have to be as bold as a lion. Daniel was as bold as a lion, and it came through his years of walking with the Lord and the trials that he went through. Now, again, the year here is around 537 BC. It's 2 years after the fall of Babylon. He's now firmly involved in the new kingdom, the Medo-Persian Empire. And we're going to see that they're going to be setting up their kingdom here. By the way, this is also the second phase of Daniel's dream. If you remember Daniel chapter 2, Daniel had the dream of the head of gold. That was Babylon. Now you have the chest and arms of silver. That's the Medo-Persian Empire, both sides. And that's where we take up starting here in chapter 6, verse 1. And notice what it says as this new leader and the new leaders, as they were co-regents, were now taking over this new world kingdom. Chapter 6, verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the entire kingdom. Now, it's interesting to note here, Darius is a title and not a name. So we don't know exactly who Darius was. His name wasn't Darius. Later on, there's going to be a Darius II. It would be the same today as president or Caesar, okay? They all had individual names, but this was a title. So again, who was Darius? Some believe he may have been Ugbaru, who was went into battle with Cyrus when they took over Babylon. Some think he might even have even been Cyrus. I reject that thought simply because when we get to the end of chapter 6, it'll say that Darius and Cyrus were there together ruling. So I don't believe it would be spoken that way of if they were the same person. So, but it doesn't really matter actually who Darius was, other than he was the one sitting in this position at this time that was setting up the new government. And again, whenever you would take over, you would obviously have to set up a brand new government. Notice they had 120 satraps. That would be kind of like our Congress today, where you had all your different leaders as you're setting up your Congress and your Senate, so to speak, over the entire kingdom. And over these, that is over the Congress and the Senate, we might say, if we want to get a modern-day application, three governors, of whom Daniel was the one. So it's almost like three vice presidents. You got the king or the president in our picture for our government. Just give, they didn't have presidents in Congress and Senate. Don't confuse that. But in our picture for today's picture, that it would be like the president, three vice presidents, and then the Congress and Senate below that. So that kind of gives you the picture of what's going on. So Daniel's right up there as a vice president, one of the three vice presidents, if you will, in his authority. And notice it says that the satraps might give account to them, so the king would suffer no loss. He was over the three governors. And then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors, that is the other two, and the satraps, the 120, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to set him over the entire realm. So basically, he's the single vice president, so to speak, or vice king because of what Darius is going to do in putting him in this position. So God has elevated Daniel to this amazing spot. It's interesting to see that right before Babylon fell, God elevated Daniel to the third in the kingdom. It lasted for one night. And now we see that he's elevated again to right to number two, almost behind the main leader here as far as over everything because of his faithfulness to God. But you have to realize that we're talking politics here. Try to imagine this from a political standpoint. I know it's biblical, but we're talking politics. And what's happening here in politics is this guy, this Jew, who's not even a Mede or a Persian, has now been elevated to basically the second place in the kingdom behind the king, and he's over all the other Medes and Persians. Do you think that's going to cause a problem in political jealousy? You better believe it. Who is this guy? Why does he get to be there? We're the ones that came in to rule with him. The king has been going 2 years and Daniel gets put in place. This is wrong. And so we're going to see that because of this jealousy, they're driven to bring Daniel down and try to destroy him. Not only has he not been around that long as far as they're concerned in that particular kingdom, he's a foreigner. Who is this guy? And how did he get in this position? Well, we know that God's the one that put him there. But notice Darius noticed in him that he had a more excellent spirit. And isn't that true about those who have a life of walking with God? If you've been around those people that have spent their life truly walking with God, they have an excellent spirit. Now, it's the work of the Holy Spirit in their life, but it's an excellent spirit, and it's something to be emulated. It's like, wow, what is it about that person? And you've been around them. You're like, man, there's something about them. That was Daniel. He was the kind of guy that entered the room, and it wasn't because he took command of the room and he had great charisma. I don't know exactly his personality, but it was simply the authority that God gave him. It was the presence that he loved the Lord. There was a humility to Daniel that made people feel comfortable. Have you ever been around people that the world would think are important, but you feel very comfortable around them? I've had a chance to be around a couple of people over the years, two or three people that were important in the world's eyes. Some of them, you don't feel comfortable at all. You feel pretty much like you think you would feel, very nervous and kind of, you know, tight, if you will. And I've been around some where it's kind of like, wow, you're almost like a family member or something. I mean, they look you in the eye and they talk to you like you're very important and special. And again, that's how people should respond. But we don't typically see that for those that are in higher positions. This was Daniel. That was the reputation that he had, and everyone knew it. And so he had an excellent spirit within him. It says that he excelled above the others. He distinguished himself, and it wasn't because he was trying to be greater than the others. It's just who Daniel was. When someone is made of that mold, they can't hide it. That's just who they are, and God will raise them up and use them in a greater way. And again, we're going to see before we're done with the study, it's because Daniel had a life of devotion to God. And we'll see what it was that Daniel did, and we'll be able to also emulate that as well as we get toward the end here. But also, I think that it had to do with Daniel's reputation. How did Daniel rise to power so quickly? No doubt Daniel was famous in the world at this time. And you're like, well, how could Daniel be famous in the world? Remember, Babylon ruled the world. And now the Medes and Persians ruled the known world of that time. No doubt word spread about some man in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom that told dreams and interpretations, and it came to pass exactly as he said, and he spoke to the gods, and the gods spoke back. You know, of course, they would have been thinking plural, multiple gods, and all these stories would have been traveling about Daniel. No doubt Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they went into a fire, and they came out not even smelling like smoke. Who are these Jews? Who is their God? So Daniel had a reputation, absolutely. And that would have been something, look, the night that Belshazzar fell, Daniel gave the prophecy, you're going down tonight. They no doubt heard about that. Are you the man that predicted that we would conquer that night? Yes, indeed I am. I want you involved in the leadership of this kingdom because you hear from the gods, and I need somebody around me that has that kind of connection to the supernatural. They recognize this in Daniel. And so that no doubt was another very important aspect of what was going on here with Daniel being placed in this position. But again, it's interesting to the excellent spirit, distinguishing himself, but God is the one raising him up. And that's something to realize, guys. If we will seek the Lord and honor God and live our lives daily for the Lord, God is the one that raises up to what he wants you to do and what he wants you to be. And that's true in your workplace. That's true in the church. That's true everywhere. If you try to get there yourself and you fight and claw and pull like all these satraps are going to do, trying to pull Daniel down, it always ends in disaster, as we're going to see it does for them. But if you simply seek God and say, God, whatever you've created me to do, I want to do that and use me for your glory in that, whether it be in whatever purpose it might be. You know, it's interesting. I remember hearing one believer that was a very famous runner. And he said, you know what, Lord, I feel your pleasure when I run. And this kind of thing, I think a great prayer to be is, Lord, what have you gifted me to do? And now as I do that, Lord, let me feel your pleasure as I run. Whatever it is I'm doing for you, let me feel your pleasure. Use me for what I'm called to do. And God has given you the gifts he wants you to use, and he's going to use you if you'll establish that life of consistency with him like Daniel did, and the rewards are great. Now, the persecution can also be great, as we're seeing here, but the rewards are great. So what happens when you have jealousy in politics? Well, we got to find some dirt on this guy, and we come to verse 4. Look what it says. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Hey, find some dirty laundry. Look at this guy's background. See if there's anything he's ever done. Look at his internet history. Let's find out what he's been Googling. Try to do something we can expose or whatever the case might be, right? And so, but Daniel was the type that if they were to check his Google history, it'd probably be something to do with a Bible study, right? So they couldn't find anything on Daniel and these kind of things, but they're looking for anything. Now, you would think a man of this quality, they would be glad to have around. They'd be glad to have him as a leader. That's not how the world operates, and especially in politics. It's cutthroat. Get rid of this guy. And it's interesting, you know, I was thinking the other day, a politic is basically something that latches on and sucks all your blood out, right? That's a politic. But anyway, these guys get involved in politics, right? And it's a nasty scene. It's not something you want to be involved in. Daniel didn't choose politics. Daniel was just in the midst of politics, and God used him there. Which, by the way, we've talked about it before. If God calls you into politics, God can use you in that. But the thing to notice about Daniel is he didn't become like the rest of the politicians. He kept himself separate. He kept himself distinguished. And yes, he took great heat for it. But at the same time, we see that God honored him and God was faithful to him in the midst of it. And so here they say, what can we find? But notice this, but they could not find any charge or fault. What a testimony. Why? Because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. Again, I love the fact that as they examined his life with a fine-tooth comb, they could find nothing to accuse Daniel of. Guys, wouldn't it be great if we all had that testimony before God?
Thanks for joining us today on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark is teaching a series from the book of Daniel where we see how to be faithful to God in the midst of consequences that were brought on a sinful nation. The Israelites were forced to live in Babylon, a foreign nation far from their homeland. Can you imagine being a young man as Daniel was, living in a strikingly different religious society than what he believed? How hard would it be to stand firm in your faith? To me, it sounds pretty similar to what we experience when we make a stance for Christ. Although we may not be living in a foreign land, we still come across opposition to our faith. But as we learn from Daniel's life, God gives us courage to not bow down to the idols of this world. We can overcome great obstacles through the power of the Holy Spirit and trusting He is with us. We hope as you've listened today, you've been encouraged to stay true to Jesus where you live and work. We'd also like to invite you to come visit us. If you're in the Knoxville area, why don't you come to Calvary Knoxville this weekend? Find our service times by going to thewaymedia.net and then click on the Calvary Knoxville tab. Scroll to the bottom and click on the Outreach of Calvary Knoxville link. Once you determine which service works for you, bring the whole family. If you want to listen to any of these studies again, just click on the Come to the Table link online at thewaymedia.net or connect with the Way Media app. We look forward to connecting with you in any of these capacities. We'll continue our verse-by-verse study through Daniel next time on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.